This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
Welcome to the World Wide Wave. You're with Beck, Matt, and Shannon, and Heath.
And tonight we are venturing to the Ukraine. In 2012, organisers planning the first ever Kiev Pride March were holding a press conference to promote the event. While the cameras were rolling, a group of masked men moved in and attacked the organisers. The chilling images went around the world and Kiev Pride came to a crushing halt. In 2013, the organisers came back and, despite a court ban, they marched in Ukraine's first ever Pride March. This is just one of the stories that have come to light from a report by Amnesty International titled Nothing to be Proud of. It details discrimination, violence, and even the murder of LGBT people in the Ukraine. Tonight we are speaking with Amnesty International's Ukraine office with Max Tucker. We hear about the battle for the hearts and minds of everyday Ukrainians. On the one side, the progressives seeking a new Ukraine and European Union approval. On the other side, the old school, the influence of Mother Russia and the influence it still has on the people of the Ukraine. Who will win? Stick around and find out. As always, we love you to be part of the show. You can send us an SMS on 0427JOY949, email us in the studio on air at joy.org.au or call Fernando on the front desk 1300JOY949. Let's kick off with some music from the Ukraine.
And tonight we've got Andriy Danilko, but he's got a pseudonym. He's also known as Verka Sidutchka.
Verka,
yes. So that's his drag name. So his real name's Andriy. He's actually a comedian and a singer. He's from the Ukraine. He sold over 600,000 records. Let's hear from him. He's going to be awesome.
Listening to you. SMS 0427 JOY949, email on air at joy.org.au or call us 1300 JOY949.
Welcome back to World Wide Wave. We're going to start off with fun, fast facts and we're going to go straight into the LGBT Ukraine category. Both male and female same-sex sexual activity is illegal in Ukraine, but households headed by same-sex couples are not eligible for the same legal protections available to opposite-sex couples.
So you said legal. So it is legal to be...
But
accepted, maybe? No?
Not really. Like, we know you're there, but just please don't tell us about it.
Okay. One of those countries. Okay.
one of those many. Antipathy toward LGBT Ukrainians remains strong in Ukrainian society. So almost all of them are afraid to be open about their orientation. There are a few LGBT publications and internet sites, like One of Us, and a few gay bars and nightclubs in Kiev and Odessa. That's actually how you right.
Probably a little bit hard. They don't have, because everybody's sort of quite insular, there's not too many people that stand out as gay figures. Their Minister for Internal Affairs is openly gay and has been so in public, but one of the very few that has sort of stood up and said, hey there, I'm gay.
Yeah, I mean, there is a small, but, you know, and it is a vibrant LGBT scene, and you do get that in the capital. But I'd imagine in the small rural areas, it's just really not talked about. There have been, They have been subject to protesters calling for government censorship. LGBT-themed television shows and films are becoming more commonplace.
That's a good start. Helps that visibility along. Adoption? Not so good. If you're straight, you can adopt. If you're in a same-sex couple, you are explicitly banned from adopting. And there are additional restrictions in place for people outside foreign adopters.
But if you're a single person, you can adopt.
Ah.
Is this whether you're gay or straight?
Well, just don't tell them.
Yeah.
Well, you just don't tell them. Fair enough.
Yeah. They don't need to know. Come on. In 1999, the former president of Ukraine, Leonid Kravchuk, stated that there are more important issues than LGBT rights to discuss in parliament and that homosexuality is caused by a mental illness or the corrupting influence of foreign films.
Of what foreign films?
I blame Pretty Woman.
It is a fairly Christian country as well, which some of that attitude might be coming from.
It's very strong Orthodox Christian, yes, too, so it's sort of that that far right wing type thing. If you're in the military and you're gay, well, it's actually not grounds for exemption, so you still have to serve.
Talking about the Christianity fact there, if you are a Christian in the Ukraine, you're not allowed to play cards because it's considered gambling.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now, Beck, you had one about McDonald's. You've got to say it.
Kiev has the third most visited McDonald's in the world.
Kiev?
Yes. At the train station, apparently.
Wow.
It must be massive.
Station, no less.
It has over 2 million people every year.
Would you like fries with that one? I tell you what I would like is some music. That was such a good, bouncy, upbeat song. I think we should have a bit more from music of the Ukraine.
Well, we've got the Eurovision song from this year coming up. It's called Gravity and it's by Zlata Ognevic.
Connecting, representing, celebrating. Joy 94.9.
This is Audrey Gochran, the director of Amnesty International's Africa program on the World Wide Way.
Yes, it is the World Wide Way, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight we've stopped off in the Ukraine, place of happy music, but perhaps not so happy issues for the LGBT community. Now, we're speaking tonight with Amnesty International, and they have put out a report titled Nothing to Be Proud Of. And the front cover of this brochure is a picture of a guy. He's covered in blood. He's being attacked by six or seven masked men. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, this was the 2012 Kiev Pride, or what was intended to be Kiev Pride. Being a press conference, of course, the media was all there. So it kind of gave an immediate insight to the rest of the world. It was condemned universally by countries all over the world, but it does highlight some underlying issues. So we asked Max to tell us what is happening on the ground in the Ukraine in terms of violence against LGBT people.
I think there's still a very serious problem with violence against LGBTI people in Ukraine. That picture is from the 2012 Kiev Pride, when individuals were allowed to attack organisers who were giving a press conference. They would support an adequate police protection. But this is something that it's not an isolated incident. We also saw that earlier this year, a young Armenian gay man was killed outside a gay nightclub in Kiev, in the very centre of Kiev. And his attackers have yet to be brought to justice, although his attack has probably been caught on CCTV as it's in the centre of town.
Now, some were saying that particular murder, there was no evidence that it was a gay hate-related attack. What makes you so sure that it was?
Well, I mean, whether or not it was a hate crime, there were several football supporters in the area at the time who often had far-right sympathies, quite homophobic views, which are particularly expressed on their web pages of their fan sites. This happened, he was 100 metres away from the gay nightclub that he was leaving on his way to another gay nightclub. And the fact that, you know, he was beaten but nothing was stolen from his person all indicate that probably this was motivated by his appearance or the fact that he was seen leaving his gay nightclub.
And there are also reports of officials either being discriminatory or perhaps participating in violence against gay people?
Well, there's certainly discrimination at a very high level of officials. We see very senior religious leaders making extremely discriminatory statements about LGBTI people. And, you know, high-level senior politicians comparing LGBTI people to necrophiliacs and paedophiles. So this is something that's very concerning, and it comes to fruition with the bills that are being introduced to Parliament, which propose to outlaw what they call homosexual propaganda, which in reality is just any information, either neutral or positive, about same-sex relationships.
Have they given you an argument as to why they want to outlaw so-called homosexual propaganda?
Yeah, well, the reason that they give is a strange reason. It's ostensibly to protect children from homosexual propaganda and to, you know, there's very strange ideas as well about ending the demographic crisis in Ukraine. And Ukraine's population has been decreasing for some time, but we think that's probably more to do with the fact that there's an economic problem in Ukraine and a lot of people migrating abroad for work. But all these excuses are just given to fuel homophobic sentiment which exists in the country, and it really needs to be countered.
So this proposed law, the anti-propaganda law that they're looking at, is very similar to one that has passed in Russia. How much influence does Russia have, or still have, over the Ukraine?
I think Ukraine is still heavily influenced by what happens in Russia. I mean, there's a portion of Ukrainian society that looks towards Europe, and there's another portion that looks towards Russia. So laws that have been introduced in Russia are often seen as something that might be introduced in Ukraine successfully. And there's a kind of shared mentality among certain sections of the population, which causes these kind of this information sharing and these kind of bills to be introduced after they've been introduced in Russia.
Do you feel, Max, that the Ukraine still wants to be ruled by Russia? Do you think the Ukraine's not ready for independence?
No, not at all. I think Ukraine is certainly it has a very independent attitude towards many issues. Russia would hate to see Ukraine join the European Union. I think the government is still feels that it has close ties with Russia, and there are obviously kind of connections between the two, and a historical connection and a social connection, which are very important. But I think Ukrainians realise now that they have their own destiny, and it's separate to that of Russia.
Weeknights on Joy 94.9. Sharing your passions.
It's the World Wide Wave, and that was the voice of Max Tucker from Amnesty International's Ukraine office. The demographic crisis. That's something that I didn't know.
Yeah, since the 80s, the population's been decreasing by 150,000 people a year.
So since the 80s?
Since the 80s, yeah.
That's a lot of lost population.
Yeah. So they've got a high death rate and a low birth rate.
I think the average life expectancy is 65, I think. I'm not sure. I think it's 65.
Which is really, really low. Yeah.
So there is an argument that maybe this whole let's just outlaw homosexuals, let's just make sure they're really scared to come out, could be the fact that they are just trying to create a new population boom. And this is just one of their, like, well, look, we'll get rid of the homosexuals. And, everyone will have to breed.
See, now in Australia, we just have a baby bonus. We pay people to go out and have sex or, you know, paid maternity leave on some massive scale. But no, you've gone for the let's make the gays sleep with women.
Yeah, or women sleep with men.
Or women sleep with men, true, yeah.
I'd say this is one of their new population growth incentives. We'll just scare it out of you. And your parents will be, you know, you'll have the social pressure that you'll have to create a family.
Perhaps a long bow on that one.
It's a long shot, but I can kind of see, like, if you are losing that much of your population, I think you should be questioning what you're doing with your health industry. And maybe people are leaving for economic reasons. I'm just saying.
Now the health is another issue within Ukraine, and particularly to do with the anti-homosexual laws which have been coming in Russia, and they have been proposed but have not yet made it to Parliament in Ukraine. Ukraine has one of the highest growth rates for HIV. It's been increasing at quite an incredible rate, from about 150,000 to about 400,000 people over the over the past, about 8 or 10 years. So this proposed law, which will outlaw so-called homosexual propaganda, there is a huge risk that this will actually hurt the fight against against HIV within Ukraine.
Yeah, I also feel if they keep this sort of dialogue going, they'll create, you know, that AIDS is a gay disease and you don't want to be gay because you'll get AIDS. Ooh, scary. You know, they won't look at it from the other side, that it is actually a disease that affects all sexuality groups. So I would say this is all just part of the grand scheme.
So HIV care is not funded at all by the government. It's completely externally funded.
Right.
Yeah. So if that's increasing, imagine the drain on...
That's pretty unusual for a, you know, what you would consider a fairly well set up country. You quite often find that in African countries, you know, it is reliance on NGOs because they fundraise and they can therefore afford to pay for the medicines. The HIV medicines aren't cheap. Mm. So for a country like Ukraine, that's actually quite surprising.
Yeah, and I think what else is also quite surprising about this is that Ukraine is meant to be the fourth educated nation in the world. 99.4% of Ukrainians aged 15 and over can read and write, and that 70% of adult Ukrainians have a secondary or higher education. So if these people are so well educated, then why aren't they so informed?
What are they being educated on? That is the question. Maybe you've got an opinion on this. We'd love to hear from you about your thoughts. You can send us an SMS on 0427 JOY 949, phone Fernando at the front desk 1300 JOY 949, email us right here in the studio, that's onair@joy.org.au, and we are live on Facebook, just search Worldwide Wave.
Now, in 2012, Euro 2012, the soccer tournament, was co-hosted by the Ukraine, and that led to Elton John, who loves the soccer, to go and do some concerts over in the Ukraine. And he used his concerts to talk about stopping the violence against gay people. He talked about it during his concert. So while Ukraine is being knocked down, Elton John's still standing.
It's the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Follow LGBT International News and Current Affairs.
Like us on Facebook at W3Joy or visit us at W3Joy.org.
This is Eve from Cameroon on Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy and we are in the Ukraine in the Worldwide Wave. Now, we have been speaking with Max Tucker from Amnesty International's Ukraine office, and we spoke with him at length, and we wanted to find out a bit more about day-to-day living for LGBT people in the Ukraine community, how police and government fit in with the attitudes, and what the future is for LGBTI people in the Ukraine.
Max, what's it like for a general member of the LGBTI community walking around in Ukraine in everyday life? Do you have to be clandestine or about your sexuality? Do you have physical fear?
I think it's a choice that people have to make, because obviously if you are openly gay in some areas of Ukraine, it can be extremely dangerous for you. And certainly we've seen that the people who choose to live openly and work in the gay rights movement have been subjected to numerous attacks and open discrimination and abuse in the streets. So it's a choice that has to be made very carefully, and a lot of people do choose it rather than face that kind of reprisal, that they'd rather keep it a secret.
In fact, the Ministry for the Interior has described attitudes or police attitudes towards LGBT people as extremely negative. Is there anything being done to address police attitudes?
Well, I think there is starting to be a shift in attitude. I mean, the fact that Kiev held the first gay pride in Ukraine just this summer certainly represents a shift in attitude, that the police realise that they did in fact have an obligation to protects the right to freedom of assembly of LGBTI people. But this was only after a huge amount of lobbying on our part and the European Union's part, and a lot of pressure from different governments, like the US, for example, who really made a clear message to Ukrainian authorities that the right to free expression and assembly for LGBTI people must be respected without discrimination.
You mentioned the European Union and the fact that there are people who are more focused on Russia and people who are more focused on Europe. The European Union puts requirements on anti-discrimination laws in order to join. How much weight does that have on the Ukraine Parliament?
I think that's a significant pressure point for the Ukrainian authorities. I think a lot of Ukrainian parliamentarians don't quite understand what the requirements are, unfortunately, but most people in government do. And they realise that, that's probably the only reason that we saw a gay pride in Kiev this year was the fact that the European Union put so much pressure on them, and there is the idea that there will be an association agreement signed between the European Union and Ukraine in November. And Ukrainian authorities are desperately trying to do everything they can to make that agreement possible. And I think they saw the LGBTI pride as something that could help with that.
The LGBTI minority is sort of definitely facing discriminatory behaviour. Are other minorities facing the same sort of behaviour? Like, do we see the gypsy population coming under attack? Do we see people of foreign birth coming under attack?
Yeah, certainly we've documented discrimination across various different groups which are prohibited from discrimination. Obviously, racism is a serious problem in Ukraine, which has been going on for some time. And we've documented attacks even by police officers on people of Azerbaijani origin and people of Nigerian origin. And social problems as well with people who, there were two high-profile murders of two Nigerian men in Kharkiv last year, which they're yet to be solved. So this is a problem that's is really about fear of any kind of unknown or something that Ukraine doesn't quite understand, and it needs a huge amount of government input to change social attitudes.
Max, so what's the future in the Ukraine like? Is there any joy at the end of the tunnel?
Well, I think the fact that we did have this first Kiev Pride does show that there has been some positive shift, and it was it was a fantastic event to be part of, to be able to march in that and see that the police actually did a really good job protecting all the participants, and realised that they were completely obliged to do that, which is something I think they hadn't realised before. So it does seem that there is some light at the end of the tunnel. We've also seen the Presidential Administration Commission, a fact-finding report into LGBTI rights issues in Ukraine. So there is some interest in it. And the whole Pride event has certainly stirred a lot of interest, has started a lot of conversations about the issue, which just didn't happen in Ukraine before. And I think it's very good that these are happening. And a lot of people who've had very kind of deeply held homophobic views are now being challenged by other people in their social groups. And this is something that I think is extremely positive.
Are you seeing any shift in public attitudes, day-to-day public, towards gay people? For example, is there any visibility of gay people in the media?
I think, yes, certainly there is some liberal elements of the media that have been quite supportive of LGBTI rights, and they've published a lot of supportive articles, and we've even seen blogs from some religious leaders which say that, we shouldn't be focusing on combating homosexual propaganda. We should be looking at different problems in the country, and so there has been a discussion which really wouldn't have happened before in Ukraine. It's certainly been prompted by the Pride, and we hope the discussion continues, and it will gradually accumulate a kind of more positive attitude from the media.
With the conflicting rights issue of the anti-gay propaganda laws and the pro-rights laws or views of Europe, which do you see winning the tussle?
Yeah, well, it's a very difficult question. We see that the authorities and the government is certainly more aware of its obligations than individual parliamentarians. Individual parliamentarians are also more concerned with winning a popular vote. So it's a struggle that we expect to see continue for some time, but it seems at the moment that the Parliament has gone into recess and the homophobic laws have not been considered in the last parliamentary session, so hopefully they may now die a death. But at the same time, it looks unlikely that we'll see proper anti-discrimination laws come into effect. So I think that probably there'll be a maintaining of the status quo unless the European Union puts a serious amount of pressure on this issue ahead of November.
And what's the role of Amnesty International in the Ukraine in terms of looking out for LGBT people?
Well, our office in Ukraine has been growing. We've been growing in the number of activists. We continue to work on LGBT rights, to lobby and campaign against the homophobic laws, and to campaign for an introduction of correct anti-discrimination legislation, and also to try and raise awareness of, you know, this is not a threatening thing for you to for the Ukrainian population. You know, this is a very fundamental issue of freedom of expression and freedom of assembly, and it's the same rights that everyone should enjoy. And that seems to be something that is getting some leeway here.
Max Tucker from Amnesty International, thanks for joining us here in Australia.
Thank you very much.
Share your thoughts. Email onair at joy.org.au.
And Max was there. One of the strong themes coming through is the role of religion in Ukraine. Those added challenges. In fact, the so it's a very orthodox religious organisation that is in place, and they have influence. They play a role not just in society on a religious level, but also in politics. Now, the head of the Ukraine Orthodox Church has been quoted as saying that supporting LGBT rights would be cursed. And the head of the Greek Catholic Church has denounced homosexuality as a sin tantamount to manslaughter.
Wow.
Well, that's
What I find interesting, though, is, as I said before, you've got countries like Spain and Portugal, where 98% of the population are Catholic, yet they've managed to achieve a separation of church and state. And I have been one of the first few to bring in equal marriage. You know, and yet you got other countries, you know, that you've just got that infiltration still, you know.
Yeah. Very much that old school, Russian style old school.
With the Ukraine, when we're looking at its population makeup, I mean, half of it are ethnic Ukrainians. The other ethnic groups in the country do include Russians, Belarusians, Moldovans, Crimean Tatars, Bulgarians, Hungarians, Romanians, Jews, Armenians, Poles, Greeks.
Yeah. And Max actually mentioned that as being an issue that vendetta against LGBT people is not just restricted to, it's pretty much for anybody that's different. So racism is something that is a part of Ukrainian culture.
Usually I would say education is the answer, and we were talking about how highly educated Ukraine is. But Dean's written in.
Hello, Dean.
He's saying Serbian people also claim to be the most educated in the world in terms of ancient Greek and Roman books and French novels, but no substance.
No substance.
Thanks, Dean.
Okay, yes. So
don't mention the war, Dean.
What you teach in those schools that has the ability to make a difference. But I guess out of that, what I certainly took from what Max was saying, there is some light in that tunnel. Yep, it's a dark tunnel. But as he was saying, there's conversations starting to happen. There's people who are starting to speak up against these voices, religious voices. The fact that they've had their first Pride March, and yeah, it only lasted 20 minutes, but people noticed.
Yeah, and it was nice to hear Max say that the police were there and they felt secure, and the police are actually accepting that it's part of their duty to protect the gay community as well.
And also what I think it's important to remember historically, if we're looking at the Ukraine, in 1991, Ukraine did become the first post-Soviet country that recognised by the UN to decriminalise homosexuality.
Now, what would a gay-themed show, News and Current Affairs show, be without a boy band song?
A boy band, exactly. This boy is called Kazaki, and they've actually been the backup dancers on one of Madonna's film clips.
Wow. To
Girl Gone
Madonna
Wild.
Madonna on a gay...
Fancy that.
So check it out. Girl Gone Wild is Madonna's video clip, and they're the backup dancers. They're a bit androgynous looking. So this song is called Love.
I wanna fucking you, money, trend, fame, sex. I wanna fucking you, money, trend, fame, sex. Money, trend, fame, sex. Money, trend, fame, sex. Money, trend, fame, sex. Money,
Hi, everyone. My name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy. And lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9. Hi, everyone. My name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy. And lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9.
It's a Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time, and tonight we have been stopped off in Ukraine. Now, one of our regular segments, we take a bit of a worldwide wrap, so a look at the issues making the headlines around the LGBT world. Now, you can stay up to date with all these issues throughout the week by following us on Facebook. If you go on, search Worldwide Wave or W3Joy on Facebook, and you'll get all sorts of stories like... Who wants to?
Oh, can I go first?
Go first.
I've got a story about none other than Wentworth Miller.
Okay, you've got my attention now.
So, if you haven't heard, this week, Wentworth Miller declined politely, sent a very public letter to Russia. He declined an invitation to the International Film Festival in Russia, saying, as a gay man, that he couldn't, in good conscience, participate in a celebratory occasion hosted by a country where people like himself are being systematically denied their basic right to live and love openly. Good on you, Wentworth.
I think that is such an elegant way to come out.
That is a fantastic way to come out.
But do you know what shocked me more than the fact that he came out?
That he's got a boyfriend?
Well, no, that doesn't surprise me in the slightest. No, actually,
there's no one crying here.
That's me.
No, but the fact that he's 41.
He doesn't look it.
No. I mean, he looks like he's in his early 20s, you know.
He'll be loving that.
All right, and the best way to fight homophobia, I still feel, is with food. Ben & Jerry's ice cream in Germany has taken to social media to attack Russia's law banning so-called homosexual propaganda. What is homosexual propaganda? To minors, which potentially bans any public expression of LGBT identity. So what they've done is they've evoked the US President Ronald Reagan's 1987 call for the end of the division of East and West Germany. So Ben & Jerry's posted a picture of one of their iconic cows from their packaging holding a picket sign with a picture of Russian President Vladimir Putin wearing makeup and the slogan, Mr. Putin, tear down this law. And also, Ben & Jerry's has entered the marriage equality debate here in Australia.
They have. They called their ice cream. They've released a special ice cream from the marriage equality debate called I Do, which is their cookie dough ice cream.
Yeah, cookie dough ice cream.
Oh, that's so
cool.
That's
very clever.
Very good. Check out your local stores. Across to New Zealand, we went to New Zealand last week. Some interesting changes there. So they've just had marriage equality come through, and now they have the chance to elect the head of an openly gay head of political party who is the alternate prime minister. So this is your home turf, Shannon.
I'm very excited because he's also my local MP.
Right. Wow. Okay. So his name is Robertson. What's his first name?
Grant.
Grant Robertson. And he came out and said, look, he doesn't think New Zealanders care about his private life. He's very comfortable with who he is and thinks voters will judge him on his abilities rather than his private life. Good luck to him. So he's in a leadership vote off with another guy for a leader of the Labor Party.
Yeah, I think it would be really good to see Grant take the leadership reins at some point. I'm not sure if this upcoming election is the one where I'd like to see him sort of come through. I think they might be peaking him too early. I think they should maybe hold back and wait for the next election just to give him time to really hold on until Labor settles, because New Zealand Labor has kind of like Australian Labor. It's become a little bit cannibalistic and how it deals with its leaders. It's like, oh, well, you didn't do well in this poll, so we're going to dump you. Mm. It's like, oh, grow up, Labor.
What he said has tinges of the Martin Luther King speech, I think, and it's the anniversary of the Martin Luther King speech tomorrow, 50 years, where you're being judged by the content of your character.
And not the colour of your skin.
Yeah, or your sexuality.
Now, a couple of stories from Australia as well. Just today, the leaders of both the Katter Australia Party, Bob Katter, and the Palmer United Party, Clive Palmer, have both come out and said they will support a conscience vote in the Parliament on the issue of same-sex marriage. I'm not quite sure I want these guys in our court.
Quite ridiculous.
Are you just kind of like, oh, what do you want? What do you guys really want? Because they certainly don't want money if they're appealing to the LGBTI community.
Well, I don't think Palmer needs any money.
And look, just quietly. Look, to their credit, they're allowing it to go forward. I think it probably turns up the heat on Mr. Abbott, who seems to be the sole person in Parliament who doesn't want this to be voted on. So,
does it disturb anybody else that he's got a relative who he's meant to be quite close to who would really like marriage equality and he's like, nah, you're just not going to have it? I think he's taking his sibling rivalry a little too far. Like, whatever she did to you at childhood, mate, get over it.
Perhaps. Now, somebody who has come out in support of the gay community this week is the Australian Foreign Minister, Bob Carr, who says the Australian embassy in Russia has been lobbying the Russian government over their gay propaganda ban. So one of many, many countries around the world, the Canadians have certainly been taking a lead on this as well.
Stephen Harper's been amazing, actually. I did not expect that from the Prime Minister of Canada to come out the way he has.
And come out hard.
Yeah.
And not just there. We've heard of Canada's involvement in various African countries as well.
Now, in 2012, Euro 2012, which is the soccer, for those of you who don't follow sport like me, Ukraine co-hosted the soccer championships. And Marcus Urban, who is the first European footballer to ever come out, was part of a campaign called AllOut.org. And this is where a whole lot of people tweeted all at once about the anti-gay laws in the Ukraine, which was pretty incredible. So that happened in 2012. A lot of the European Union countries boycotted sending their officials along to Euro 2012 because of the laws, which was really great, I thought. So we've got the song from the Union of European Football Association 2012, written by, she's actually German, Oceana, her name is, and it's called Endless Summer. So it's from 2012. On.
Hi, I am Fernando from Guadalajara, Mexico, and you are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Hello and goedenavond. This is Elko, listening in from the Netherlands on Worldwide Wave, the latest LGBT news and current affairs on joy.org.au.
And speaking of the Netherlands, it's a shout out to Graham from the Netherlands, who I ran into while I was overseas and said, oh, yeah, no, I do this show on Joy. Oh, Joy, I listen all the time. So he streams it live. Hello, Graham.
Hello,
big
Graham.
Shout out to you. And a thank you to Dean also for his message tonight, interacting with us about our show on Ukraine. Very big thank you to Amnesty International and Max Tucker in the Ukraine office there for being a part of the show and enlightening us. And to Fernando on the front desk, who's always here with us doing a great job.
And he has a lovely voice.
He does.
We're just going to go and talk to him about things. He has no idea what, though.
Now, stick around. What have we got coming up next there, Beck?
The next show.
Yes, we're talking the Vixen Hour, Christian and his team.
They are going to be talking about sex work and education.
Fantastic. Now, that's going to be an interesting debate.
It will be.
Stick around, and we'll be back same bat time, same bat channel next week, where we will be venturing into India. It's the Worldwide Wave, taking you around the globe one country at a time. Catch you next week.
Is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.